We'll probably see it, but we can quote it. I think I gave that to you. I believe I did. But in John 3:16, it says, "For God what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him what? Should not perish, but have eternal lasting or everlasting life." All right. So here's the question I have for you. How are we handling the gifts the Father has given to us? How many of you, you know the gift that God has given you? And by the way, you are also a gift to people. Do you know that? Every one of you has a calling from God and gifts of the Holy Spirit to go along with it. How many know, at least in part, some of the gifts that God has given you? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you know what you are called to in the body of Christ? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, some people are mercy showers. Some people are exhorters. Some people are givers. Some people are prophetic. Some people are teachers. There's a whole list of things in Romans chapter 12. We need to minister on that sometime soon. These are motivational gifts. These are gifts that motivate you in a certain way in your service for the Lord. How many of you know who you are? Kind of pretty much you know who you are. All right. How many think you know who you are? Okay. You're learning. You're growing into it. You're growing into it. Don't have it all of us all at once, but you're growing into it. Okay. So let's get back here to the notes just for a minute. How are we handling the gifts the Father has given to us? And this really hit me. The staff of Moses was a sign of his gifting and anointing. That staff was a serpent until he picked it up. That staff was a serpent until he picked it up. How many of you, have you ever put yourself in that place when you read that scripture? Hello. Have you ever read that scripture where Moses is with God in the burning bush and he speaks to Moses and says, I'm going to send you down to Egypt to deliver my people? And then he said, take your staff and throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground, became a serpent. What did God tell him? Pick it up. Have you ever put yourself in that position? Because you're going to have to pick it up by the tail. All right? And usually guys that handle snakes, like Pastor Tim, he doesn't do that. We had a church over in Morrisville when we first came into the area. And we were leasing this building, and the guy said, "Well, what do you want? What kind of church are you?" He said, "Are you snake handlers?" And Ina looked at me like, "You better not be a wise guy here, you know, because this guy didn't look like he had a sense of humor at all, right?" I felt like saying no, but the strychnine sure tastes good, you know. I didn't want to go that route, you know. Been in trouble, but most snake handlers they will have another stick to grab the head, right? He said, "Pick it up by the tail." Well, you know the story. He did, and what happened? Became a staff, right? So that was a sign, a symbol of his anointing, of his gifting. Now, when he threw it down, it became a serpent. Think about this. If we fail to pick up our staff, that is our gift, our gifting, and our calling, if we fail to pick it up, it can be problematic. Ooh. That which is good from God can turn around and bite you. All right? Let's look at a few scriptures here to confirm this. How many know that whatever gifting and calling the Lord has called us to, we have to stick with it until he calls us home? Can you say amen? All right? He will give you grace to be able to bear it. He'll give you grace to walk in it. And he'll give you the grace that you need. If you need to kind of step back a little bit in terms of taking a vacation, whatever, that's good. You need to do that. But you can't lay it down. Tell your neighbor, you can't lay your gifting down. You have to give yourself to it, right? So we're going to look at a few scriptures here. What does Paul say to Timothy? He said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy." That's why we believe in prophecy. "With the laying on of hands of the eldership." All right. So We're not to what? Neglect. Tell your neighbor, don't neglect the gift. Tell them, don't put your staff down. Because it could turn around and bite you. I'll give an example of that right now, and then we'll give another one. Go ahead to the next scripture. Is that it? Oh, yeah, here we go. Good, good. She's ahead of me. Paul says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. So Demas had been with Paul a long time, but he tasted of the world, and that's the last we hear about Demas. What did he do? He put his staff down. You can't put your staff down. You can't neglect your gift. Don't neglect your gift, because when you do, it opens you up to temptation that you don't want to have to deal with, right? I've been in the ministry 54 years and started when I was 3. No, not really. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. And, you know, one of the anointings that God gives to us, and I include Ina in this, is and all of our pastors, he gives us a love for people. And we want the very best for people, right? We do, because we know God has assigned those folks to us. And we have a responsibility to pray for them, to love them, to encourage them, and to help them along the way find their place of ministry, right? And so it grieves you sometimes when people just, they get a hard heart, or they get unforgiveness, or some issue comes up, and they listen to the wrong voice, and they put their staff down, and they walk away. And I'll tell you this one story, not to... But it is a sobering story. I'm a really positive person. I love positive. I love to speak positive things. But how many know sometimes we have to talk about things that are real as well? People who, for whatever reason, walked away from the call that they had. This one guy, his first name was Danny. And when I first went to Word of Faith in New Orleans, he was a worship leader. And he was a teacher, and he taught a class called God's Covenants, which we call the New Orleans Catechism. Remember that? And because we taught it by question and answer, it was a 9-month class. People signed up for it and stuck with it the whole time. And it was a great class. And then the time came when we actually, Pastor Green and Danny and myself, sat down and we rewrote the catechism book and we published it, and he was the teacher. And I loved him. He was actually in my wedding. He was in our wedding. She and I even went to Houston and did ministry together with the Bryants. It's their last name. It's all right. But the time came when he came to me one day and he said, you know, he said, I'm tired of having to correct people. I don't want to do that anymore. I'll leave that to you and Charles Green. So I don't want to do that anymore. And I said, Danny, what are you talking about? Well, I'm getting weary of this. I think I have to rethink some things. And he was an older guy and I could only speak so much into his life. But I said, man, you don't want to do this. Come on now. You know, we talked for a while, and the time came when he walked away from the church. He went into an alternate lifestyle. He was married. He had kids. But when he forsook the calling and he put his staff down, over a period of time, he got bit. And he could always go back to God, and I pray and trust that at the end of his life, he did that. But he wound up contracting AIDS and dying. And I'm telling you, that's a sober story. I hadn't thought about it. God said, no, I want you to tell the folks about this. Because how many know there are things that we need to go for? Heavenly things. Other things we need to shun, right? God's grace is always there for us. Can you say amen? That's why I prayed that toward the end of this guy's life, if he called on God, repented, he'll be in heaven. If not, well, So I said that to say this to you, that God loves us and he has called every one of us. And it behooves us to find out who we are in Christ. Every one of us has a position and a calling in Jesus Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know that grace is given to fulfill the calling of God. And also, he gives you grace not to lay your staff down. I will tell you that since we've been in the ministry, I've had people say, well, at your age, why are you so excited? Because we're in love with Jesus, and we are filled with the love of Jesus, and we intend to go all the way in the love of Jesus Christ, and we're not laying our staff down by the grace of God, and we're going to finish out and have a great walk, and we're going to finish well. But guess what? So are you. And if you walk away and you start putting your staff down, she and I will be picking up the phone saying, where are you going? God hasn't given you permission to do this. Pick up your staff and walk after God, because it's just going to get better and better if you believe it. Hallelujah to God. Whoa. Had to turn a negative story around and make it a little positive. All right. Final one, Luke chapter 15. Love this one. This speaks of God's restoring love. How many of you have been restored? Every single one of us has been restored. God's restoring love. No matter what you did and what you do, he still loves you completely. Can you say amen? How many love that story about Jesus? We talked about this on Wednesday night. Jesus is going through the town, and he looks up in the tree, and he sees Zacchaeus up there. He didn't know who Zacchaeus was, but he had a word of knowledge. Zacchaeus, I need to have lunch with you today. Get the shrimp po' boys out. Come on, we got to go. And the gumbo, we got to have lunch together. Some of you guys are going to be running out of here in a minute. Yeah. And so Jesus never once condemned him, did he? Never put him down. No accusations. Didn't point the finger at him and say, I got a word of knowledge for you. You've been ripping people off, you know, and you're going to hell, you evil person. How many know he didn't do that? He put a loving on him. He loved him. And Zacchaeus says, oh, wow, I will restore fourfold the people that I've hurt, people that I've ripped off. And he was telling Jesus. Jesus said, salvation's come to your house today, all right? So, we look at the prodigal. Luke 15, 19 through 24. Prodigal is, you know the whole story, but let's break in the 19th verse. He said, he's ready, he's come back, he's made a turn, he's walking back to his father. He said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. It's interesting, when he left, he said, give me. And when he came back, he said, make me. He had humbled himself. How many know that hard times will cause you, hopefully, to humble yourself? Isn't that right? Tell your neighbor, stay humble. He said, make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, it's a type of the Father God. His father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. How many love a father like that? Absolutely. How many know the Father God he's the most wonderful person in the universe. Jesus did all of what he did for the Father, right? And we're going to be with the Father for eternity, but a lot of the Heavenly Father has gotten a bad break, you know? I may have told you this recently. I think I told a crowd on a Wednesday night, but the Jacksons, Peter and Heather, they had a prison ministry, and on Mother's Day, they took all these Mother's Day cards to the ladies in prison, and all of them were gone by the time they left. Came back on Father's Day, brought these Father's Day cards. Not one was taken by any of the prisoners. Why? Because they had either abandoned fathers or horrible fathers, you know. And so their idea of God the Father was punishment. Going to beat you down, right? But that's not who our God is. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. How many know he put the best robe on you? Tell that person next to you, you have the best robe on you. You know what it is? It is the robe of righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus. He put on the best robe on you. But I'm not worthy. Shut up. He's given you repentance. You're worthy because God says you are. And you've received his son, and his blood has washed you from every sin, past, present, and future. Hallelujah to God. Wow. You have the robe of righteousness. So stand up and start walking like you, right? Have the robe of righteousness. How many know that will give you confidence, right? The Bible says blessings are on the head of the righteous, over in Proverbs. Wow. That means you're going to start thinking prosperously. You're going to start thinking about blessings. You're going to have a spirit of expectation that the blessing of God is going to be upon you, right? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. The ring signified authority. He could do business in the name of his father. How many know God has called you and I to do business in the name of the Father God, right? In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and using his name, praise God. And so you have the robe of righteousness on you. You have the ring of authority on your hand. You can lay hands on the sick and they what? They will recover. Just like that waitress that was waiting for Kimberly to lay hands on her. And sandals on his feet. That means you have an anointing to walk with God. He will direct your path. Tell that person next to you, God will direct your path. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are what? Ordered by God. All right. So, and then bring out the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I mean, no, when you got saved, there was a party in heaven. Amen. All the angels in heaven were rejoicing, and God continually does that. That's why he's so happy when he sees people receive Jesus, receive the Lord. So let's give you the fill-ins. Okay, first one is, this speaks of God's restoring love. The Father's robe speaks of his and Christ's righteousness. Righteousness. The ring speaks of the seal of our sonship. Many have a wrong understanding of our Abba. That's a Hebrew word meaning daddy. He's our daddy. So let's look at a few more verses here in Luke 15. Now, he's talking to the older son. Older son doesn't want to go out and celebrate. He's party pooper. You know, all he doesn't see that his younger brother has repented and come back. He didn't want to see that. He represents the law, right? The father speaks of grace restoring his son. So he answered and he said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. So he was into kind of, you have to earn it. How many of you been in a place in churches where you have to earn it, right? Have you fasted long enough? Have you read, you've only read 10 chapters today? Well, you needed to read 12 at least, you know, to get the blessing, right? But as soon as this son of yours came, notice this son of yours, not my brother. But as soon as this son of yours came, he has devoured your livelihood with harlots. Pointing the finger. You kill the fatted calf for him. Like, a little condemnation your way too, Daddy. And he said to him, I love this though. Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Wow. I believe there's another verse coming up. Probably. Here we go. He said hadn't given him anything. But you know what? Look at this verse. Luke 15:12, and the younger of them, this is in the beginning when the younger son got ready to take off. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them. So the older brother got it too. But he had forgotten it. He was jealous because the father was showing this love toward his younger brother, who he didn't think deserved it. And he missed the idea of the grace of God. And that was one of the stories, I think, that the Holy Spirit wanted to really show. Here's the deal. We have already received the spirit of sonship. Say, you've already got it. Romans 8, it's Romans 8, 18, it should be. So then, those who are in, no, that's, this is Romans 8, 18. Can we, if we can't get it, basically Romans 8, 18 says that we have received the spirit of adoption, of sonship. So we are sons and daughters of God through the Holy Spirit. When we got saved, when we received the Lord Jesus, is when that happened. All right. Maybe I didn't get it exactly. But for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the glory is there. It's going to be revealed more and more as we walk with Him in this life. Praise the Lord. So I'll give you the last two fill-ins, and I'm going to tell you a little story. Do you relate to the Father in a judicial way? Now, God is a just God, but He is also, the Bible says, God is love. God is just, but God is love. And the only way that we could be saved is for God to do it in a just way. Somebody had to pay the price for us to be saved. Blood had to be shed because God is a just God. He cannot look upon sin. And so His own Son, and you know that story, never to get old, His own Son came down, took on flesh, took all the scourging, the beating, had all the sins of the world laid on Him for the sake of you and I being sons and daughters of God. And that was the heart of the Father. So next question is, Does it produce fear? We ought to have a deep respect and awe of God and a reverence for God, but we ought not to be afraid of God, like knee-knocking fear of God. That's a wrong way to look at it, right? That fear of God, godly fear, is I don't want to disappoint Him, you know? How many of you had a godly parent? Let me see your hands. You had a godly parent. All right, or have one right now. How many of you, because you love them, you didn't want to disappoint them? Right? Same way with our walk with God. That's really what the godly fear is all about. You love them, you respect them, you hold them in high esteem, and you don't want to disappoint them. And that's especially true of our walk with the Lord. So, final question, why not take some love breaks every day? Lean over and tell your neighbor, you especially need to do that. You say, what's a love break? I'm a single guy. What's a love break? It means just to take some time out and just let the Holy Spirit love you. Let the Father pour His grace out on you. Let the Father love you. How many of you have done that? To show you, this is a modern day situation. Ray Lindquist, my first pastor and a great pastor, awesome pastor. His son was a wild child. His son had this girl, and they were drinking and had an automobile accident, and she was killed. It sobered him up about life and about everything else. He felt so bad that he didn't want to live. But his father took the place of the father in the prodigal son story. Restored him. The parents of the lost daughter were believers. They forgave him. That young man wound up fully giving his heart to Jesus and is in the ministry today after many, many, many years. And he's learned to love people with warts and all, you know. So I challenge you, when you go out today, maybe the Lord will lay it on your heart if you're going to go out and have lunch together somewhere, and the waitress comes or the waiter, find out what they need. I always ask them this question: how can we bless you other than give you a good tip, which we will do? But how can we bless you today? And some of them, you know, well, everything's fine. Okay, you sure? But others, they will say, some of them we've seen tear up and just their whole personality. Ina and I were out with this one minister, and we were, I think we were over at, Cheesecake Factory. I'm getting real personal here. It's close to lunchtime, right? And this lady, she was very friendly and very nice. And at the end, we said, how can we bless you? How can we pray for you? And all of a sudden, her whole countenance changed and she started to tremble. And she said, my youngest son, 8 years old, has run away from home and we haven't been able to find him. It's been several days. And she was sobbing. She said, I know God sent you here. And so we laid hands. I said, can we touch you? Put our hands on your shoulder. Ina gave her a big hug. She was sobbing on Ina's shoulder. And we prayed for her. And she said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we came back at other times. We never did see her there. Often wondered about it, you know. So, amen. Wherever you don't realize how much of a blessing you can be, how you can bring the Father's love to these people, to a lost world. How many are ready for that? Okay, before we invite you to come down and get prayer, we're going to have the altar team come, but we want to play the Father's love letter. Some of you may have heard it, but it's so good. And just close your eyes and just listen to it and put yourself in that place, okay? And then we'll call our altar team down and they'll get ready to pray with you. So go ahead and let's roll that. How are we doing? Okay. Let's take a love break while we're waiting.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father, and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you.
Wow. It's been a while since I've heard that, but I love that. Altar team, come on down. We just want to kind of give you a taste. The Father's for you. There's giftings for you. They're good, you know. And ask him for ways to give away the goodness, the good gifts that God has given to you, to other people. All right. Also, we're going to open the altars in just a minute as the team comes. And then anybody that would like, is first, second, or third time visitor, that would like to be encouraged prophetically, you just sign that pad and they'll get to you. So let's stand. I want to bless you, speak blessing over you.